Let us commence our morning worship by singing together hymn 303 to the tune Hollingside 514. Hymn 303. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. All in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick, and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name, I am all unrighteousness, vile and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. Hymn 303, tune Hollingside 514.
Oh, May the Lord bless us from his word as we read it together this morning from the, first of all, from the Gospel of John and part of chapter 6. The Gospel of John and a part of chapter 6. Gospel of John, chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping, and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Turning now on into the second epistle to the Corinthians and reading chapter 12. The second epistle to the Corinthians and reading the 12th chapter. Corinthians 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful or possible for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desire Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest, when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest, when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. May the Lord help us each now to pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, please help each one of us to come in complete dependence upon Thee as we come to Thy throne of grace. Dear Lord, we have nothing of ourselves that we can plead, but O Lord, we come unto Thee knowing that Thou art a God of grace, as we have sung and as we have read. And, O Lord, it is that grace that we desire. Dear Lord, do look down on us with compassion then. And, O Lord, we pray that through grace may there be those blessings given unto us even this morning. For, Lord, Thou seest each of us exactly as we are. Lord, Thou seest our thoughts, our desires, the inmost recesses of our hearts. Lord, we pray then that Thou wouldest deal with us. Lord, that Thou wouldest give to us those things that we need. Lord, we pray that Thy word might suit each one that is here this morning. Lord, we think of that time when Peter and the apostles were preaching and each man heard in his own language. Lord, we pray that there might be some part of Thy word then that is blessed and applied to each one of Thy people here this morning. Lord, it may be that our needs and our situations are all very different circumstances. Lord, I strongly suspect that even if one person were to know of, as it were, the circumstances and the needs of each one that is here this morning, they would not be able to find something that would address everyone, that would address the needs of everyone. But Lord, with Thee nothing is impossible. So, O Lord, we do pray, and help us to believe it, as we ask Thee that Thou wouldest then apply Thy word to each separate person here today, and any that may be listening online. Lord, we do pray that Thy word might be blessed to us. Lord, that the needs that we have might be addressed in Thy word and addressed by Thee. Lord, we desire those times when Thou dost speak with us. Oh Lord, we do pray that it might be such an occasion this morning, if it should be Thy will. Oh Lord, when we come into Thy house, Lord, we know that Thou knowest all about us, Lord, and Thy word does search us. Lord, we pray it might be a searching time this morning. Lord, when we see that Thou art looking down on us, when we become aware of that, and Lord, when Thou dost send that word, as it were, that addresses our needs right in our very hearts, oh Lord, what a blessing that is. What a blessing those times are. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wouldest then, of Thy grace, have mercy on us this morning, and O Lord, do speak with us. Lord, we have read of those who were fed with that bread, with the bread and the fishes, and Lord, we read that none went away empty. Lord, we read that each ate their fill. Oh Lord, we pray then that we might have that faith to expect that Thou wilt feed us. Lord, we do not come to a different God. Lord, we do not come to a God that is no longer able to feed His people. Oh Lord, we come unto Thee, and we know that Thou dost not change. Lord, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And Lord, as He did feed that multitude, we pray then that we might be fed. Lord, we are not a multitude, but Lord, we are all different. Lord, we pray then that there might be something for each. And oh Lord, we pray then also that Thou wouldest in this way show that Thou hast heard the prayers that have been made before this service, those that have been made in the prayer meeting this morning. Lord, do hear and answer those prayers that we pray, but also, Lord, the private prayers, the prayers that have been made alone, the ones that perhaps that haven't been spoken aloud, or perhaps some may have been. O Lord, do hear those prayers, we do beseech thee. And O Lord, our desire is that thy name might be honoured and glorified and magnified in our midst. O Lord, we do not want to see, as it were, anyone else. We do not want to see each other. Lord, we want our eyes to be directed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to see him, as it were, in our midst. Lord, it is him that we desire. Lord, it is his power that we want to feel. Lord, it is that sustenance, that spiritual food and drink from him that we desire. And so, O Lord, we do pray that as our strength is nothing, Lord, we pray that thy power might be all. Lord, we do pray that in our weakness thou wilt show thyself to be strong and mighty, as it were. So, O Lord, do please bless each that is here, each that is part of this congregation and fellowship and church. And Lord, do bless those that are listening online, and do bless those that are away at the moment. Our thoughts go to Bernard Burgess, and we pray, O Lord, that thou wouldest help him and, as he is preaching, I understand, elsewhere. Lord, do be with him. Do give him all that he needs as he preaches there. Lord, that there also thy name might be set forth and honoured and glorified in the midst. Lord, do give him those journeying mercies and bring him and his wife back safely at the end of the day. And Lord, we think of Beryl, I understand, in hospital. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldest be with her. O Lord, she cannot come into thy house. Lord, we do pray, though, that those things that are obstacles, humanly speaking, that they might be overcome by thee. Lord, do go and visit her, as thou didst visit those that were unable to come to thee when thou wert upon the earth. Lord, do visit her. Do bless her, O Lord, we pray. Lord, with that sense of thy presence, do bless her in her soul. Dear Lord, we do beseech thee. And Lord, then there may be others that are not here, Lord, thou knowest. We would not desire to leave any out. Lord, we know that thou dost never forget, or thou art never, as it were, unaware of thy people. And so, O Lord, do bless each, we pray. But, O Lord, we do pray for each that are here. We pray for the younger ones, Lord, those that are at school, and those that are of that age. Lord, we pray that thou wouldest be with them. Lord, we ask that thou wouldest help them in all their difficulties, any things that may be a worry or a burden unto them. We pray, O Lord, that they might take that unto thee in prayer, Lord, even at an early age. Lord, we thank thee for the encouragements that there are in thy word for those who are young to pray unto thee. Lord, we thank thee for the notice that thou didst take of the children so many times when thou wert upon the earth. Lord, we think of that time when thou didst set a little child in the midst as a lesson to the disciples. So, Lord, may none here think that they are too young or too insignificant for thee to hear their prayers. But, Lord, may they bring all things unto thee. And, O Lord, do help them speedily, we do pray. Lord, we would especially pray for all those growing up, as it were. We pray, O Lord, that thou wouldest be their keeper, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. O Lord, we do fear, really, as it were, in the for them in the world in which they have their dealings, as it were, much more so than we do as grown-ups. But, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldest watch over them. O Lord, do keep them from dangers, we pray. Lord, we do pray for any that may be in need of guidance, whether that be for in a job or in education or indeed in any other matter. Lord, we pray that thou wouldest give that guidance, if it be thy will. And also, Lord, that thou wouldest give that spirit to be ready to do what is thy will. Lord, so often we have our minds set on a particular thing, but Lord, do make us more willing to, Lord, make us watch out, as it were, for to know what is thy will, and be ready to do that. Lord, if we do already know that and are trying to suppress the knowledge, we pray, O Lord, that thou wouldest deliver us from this and forgive us, we pray. O Lord, we do. And Lord, if there are any that might be tempted, as it were, we think of Lot lifting up his eyes and looking at the plain of Sodom and Gomorrah and seeing how lush it was. Lord, if there are any in that place of temptation, oh, we do pray, O Lord, that thou wouldest deliver. Lord, may there instead be that desire, as it were, to serve thee and to rely only upon thee. Lord, do deliver us from the love of the things of this world. Lord, we do pray for those that are parents or grandparents, uncles and aunts, Lord, any that have, or friends, any that have responsibility for the children. Lord, we pray that thou wouldest give much wisdom, knowledge and patience. Oh Lord, we do need all these things to, and grace also to discharge the responsibilities that thou hast laid upon us. Oh, do help us then, O Lord, we pray. And especially, Lord, may we be kept from witnessing wrongly of thee, Lord, in any way whatsoever, not just in our speech, but in our actions as well. Dear Lord, please do remember those that go out to work. We pray, O Lord, that thou wouldest help them in these things. O Lord, again, we do need thy help, whatever the job may be. Lord, even those routine things, Lord, we pray that thou wouldest help us in doing them. And Lord, that we pray that we may not have a mindset that seeks to do things by ourselves, and only when we fail then turn unto thee. Lord, we pray that there might be rather that always desiring to walk with thee. Lord, that we take everything to thee in prayer, that thou wouldest not only show us the best way of doing it, as it were, humanly speaking, but also, Lord, that thou wouldest help us to do it as unto thee. Lord, thou hast given us those things, those jobs, those things that we have to do, not just in our employment, but it may be chores and tasks and responsibilities within the home as well. Lord, do help us to do these as unto thee. And, O Lord, may they be part of serving thee. So, O Lord, do help us in this as well. And, Lord, for any that are in any uncertainty about their employment, Lord, do arise for them also, we pray. Lord, do be with those that are alone. Lord, that any that may live alone, Lord, or any that may not live alone but may feel to be alone. Lord, there are so many reasons why we can feel to be isolated, even from family at times. Lord, thou knowest all these things. Lord, we would especially pray for any that may feel to be like that. Oh Lord, do be thou their friend. Lord, we thank thee for those wonderful words when thou didst describe thy disciples as thy friends. Lord, how hard it is for us to understand, as it were, that thou, the Son of God, should have disciples or such as us as friends. But, O Lord, we thank thee that thou hast put that description in thy word. O Lord, do be a friend then to any that may feel to be friendless. Lord, do be with those who feel to be alone. Lord, do arise for them, particularly in any matters perhaps that they feel they can't discuss with others. Lord, do be with them, we pray. And then, O Lord, we would pray as well for any that have afflictions, illnesses, disabilities, pains, or whatever it might be to bear at the moment. Lord, oh, first of all, we pray that thou wouldest be with them in the bearing of these things. We ask, O Lord, that even these things might be made a time of blessing. Lord, we have read of that with that thorn in the flesh. Lord, we do pray that likewise, when thou dost reduce us, when thou dost weaken us, when thou dost afflict us, Lord, we pray that we too might then know that in our weakness thy strength is made perfect. And, O Lord, a wonder it is to prove that thy grace is sufficient for us. So, O Lord, do remember then those that are afflicted or ill in this way. But also, Lord, we do pray that, if it be thy will, that thou wouldest grant that restoration, that recovery of to health, if it be thy will. Lord, oh, we do pray that thou wouldest do this, Lord. Thou art able, all things are in thy hand. Lord, we help us to not look, as it were, to the means that thou hast so kindly provided and which thou dost use. Lord, help us to look a bit higher, as it were, and to see that at the hands of the doctors and the nurses and the healthcare professionals and the medicines, all of these things are in thy command, Lord, and thou art the one that dost direct. Lord, we do pray then that thou, who art in control of all things, we do pray that thou wouldest grant restoration. Lord, with thee nothing is impossible. So, O Lord, to remember each, Lord, there are no doubt many whose circumstances I haven't even touched on in this prayer, but O Lord, how amazing it is that thou knowest all about each of us. Lord, thou seest and knowest how we are. Lord, we would pray for those that have responsibilities here. We pray for our friend Ray, as he, with all the responsibilities that he has. Lord, do help him, do be with him in the part he plays in the services. Lord, we pray also for his fellow deacon, Lord, that thou wouldest be with him also. Lord, and then there are others who have responsibilities, some in the service, like the playing of the organ, others perhaps less visible. But Lord, we would pray for each. Lord, we pray that there might be that common desire and unity amongst them, Lord, that love of thee, that desire to serve thee. And Lord, may we not rebel against the service that thou hast given to us. Lord, we think perhaps especially of those who have much to do behind the scenes. Lord, do be with them as well in the making of the engagements, the cleaning of this place, the unlocking of it, and so on, and many other duties that are needed. Lord, do be with each, we pray. And then finally, Lord, we would pray for thy blessing again upon the people here. Oh Lord, do bless all those that thou hast brought in to hear thy word. Lord, it brought into thy presence, as it were. Oh Lord, again we plead that thou wouldest put forth thy word with power. But oh Lord, we do pray that thou wouldest build them up for thy name's sake. Lord, that thou hast put the gospel in this place to be preached. Lord, thou hast assembled people together to hear the gospel, as it were. Lord, thou hast shown thy grace in many of them. Lord, we pray that there might be many more who may be constrained to speak of what Christ has done for them and join the church here. Lord, we pray that there might be a building up in the congregation also, all to thy honour and to thy glory. O Lord, we pray. So, O Lord, do look down, Lord, do visit again this vine, we pray. And Lord, do build it up, we pray. Now, O Lord, once again we plead that thou wouldest help us as we ask all of these things, together with the forgiveness of our sins, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices are that, God willing, Mr. Timothy Pocock will preach here on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Michael Ridout next Lord's Day. Mr. Edmund Buss will again preach here this evening at 6 p.m. when the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will be observed during the evening service. There will be a church meeting held here on Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. And today we take a collection for those in need. Any money placed in any box at the back of the chapel today will be used for that purpose. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn 247 to the tune Bethel 102. Hymn 247. O Lord, I would delight in Thee and on Thy care depend. To Thee in every trouble flee, my best, my only friend. When all created streams are dried, Thy fullness is the same. May I with this be satisfied and glory in Thy name. Hymn 247, tune Bethel 102.
in complete dependence upon the Lord. I'd ask your prayerful attention this morning to the well-known verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. The second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12, and the verse 9. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It is especially the first part of the verse that I will try to speak from. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, just to make it clear, these are the words of the Lord in response to the prayer of the Apostle Paul in verse 8. For Paul prayed three times that the thorn in the flesh, whatever that was, might be taken away, that it might depart from me. And the answer that he had wasn't that the thorn was taken away, or even that the thorn would be taken away. The answer was really different, and the answer is what is in our verse. And God said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that is in Paul's weakness. For my God's strength is made perfect in your, or my weakness, as it were. Our weakness, but God's strength. And this first part of the answer is a wonderful phrase, really, in the Bible. My grace is sufficient for thee. I am sure that it is one that we have all heard before. These words quoted before, even the younger ones, I suspect, may have heard these words quoted, and so they are words that we are familiar with, but nonetheless, they are still wonderful words, as it were, and they are words that enable us to continue in our Christian walk, in our lives. They are a promise that the Lord's grace will be enough for us. But we do need to be brought to see how much grace we need. And that is really what the first part of the chapter is dealing with. The Apostle Paul is recounting how he was brought to see how much grace he would need. If we do not realise this, if we have a wrong idea of how much grace we need, if we think that we do not need much of the Lord's grace, then we need the Lord to show us. And to put it simply, these words, my grace is sufficient for thee, they won't mean much to us if we think we don't need very much grace. We will not see, as it were, the wonders of the depths and the riches of the Lord's grace if we think that we do not need much. So the Lord needs to bring us to that place to see that we need his grace, and then to see that his grace is sufficient for us. Before we cover that any further, then we need to consider what grace is. But there is the second part of that, really, is the weakening us, making us weaker, as it were. And that is what the Apostle Paul was describing in these verses, how the thorn in the flesh was used to weaken him, and especially to humble him. For him, the great danger was, as it were, that, as he says himself, You notice twice in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. And then at the end, lest I should be exalted above measure. And so you will see that the Apostle Paul learnt the lesson, as it were, from the thorn in the flesh that the Lord sent. And again, we do need the Lord's direction and help in learning those lessons. And as the Lord may help me, I want to try to speak a little of that. But I also would like to try to speak a bit from the passage that we read in John chapter 6, where there we have that two things really I believe of relevance there. One is the abundance of what the Lord Jesus provided for the people that were hungry. Taking those, he took something which clearly was not sufficient, and when he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to those that were sitting down, then there was not only were they each filled, but there was some left over. And I do believe that this does give us, as it were, a very easy to understand picture of the riches of the Lord's grace. What his sufficiency is, as it were, more than enough. But also I wanted to speak a little from that passage as well, as to the way that Jesus spoke to the disciples, and that conversation that he had with them before the miracle was performed. So coming back to the text then, first of all, what is grace? What is grace? Well, there are a number of definitions of grace. One definition that I was given some while ago, or I've heard said some while ago, speaks about the difference between mercy and grace. I'm not sure who it was who first said it, but what was said was that mercy is not giving us what we deserve. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve. In other words, it is sparing us the punishment that we deserve. On the other hand, grace is giving us what we don't deserve. And that is the salvation, the love, the work of the Holy Spirit within sinners who don't deserve it. And I think there is much truth in really in that description. So grace is receiving those things from the Lord that we don't deserve. It is often we speak of things being done through the Lord's grace. It is through the Lord's grace that we receive things. And what it means really is that this grace really describes the Lord's attitude, if that's the right words, to his people. He knows that they are sinners. He knows that they deserve to receive nothing from him but punishment. And it is his grace then that, instead of punishment, pours the blessings upon his people, not just to save them and deliver them from their sins. What a great blessing that is in itself, just the very freedom from sin. What a great blessing that is. But the Lord goes further than that. Through his grace, he makes his people sons and daughters of him. He makes them fellow heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings them each to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he brings each to that wonderful place, to that wonderful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, described as him being described as the bridegroom, the Lord's church being described as the bride. The Lord, through his grace, makes his people perfect. The Lord, through his grace, makes them so that he can rejoice in them. He makes them comely, as it were, attractive, beautiful, fitting to be the bride of Christ. And all this is through grace. There is, though, another meaning sometimes used of grace, where grace is almost, as it were, like where it represents the power of the Holy Spirit working in his people. That is sometimes referred to as grace, where as the Lord uses his people, He gives them the grace to do things in his service. And that grace may be, as it were, sometimes just bearing what the Lord wants us to bear. Putting up with infirmities, the thorn in the flesh, but also it is giving us the power, as it were. It is like, almost like the power of the Lord given through grace to perform those things that the Lord would have us to do in his service, whether that be whatever form that may take, grace to speak to others. So this is really just a glimpse as to, or a brief look at what grace is. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now I want to then especially speak of this grace as it applies to the attitude of the Lord towards his people. The way that the Lord gives those blessings to his people, even though they don't deserve it. And especially if we speak of salvation. But how does the Lord bring us into this knowledge of his grace? Well, it is, first of all, to make us see how we need it. And I do want to begin with that, really, in this part of the service, as it were, the sermon, to begin with that thought as to how does the Lord teach us that we need his grace? And especially to look at those things that the Lord brings into our life to teach us how much we need his grace, and that is how undeserving we are of any of his mercies, and how gracious he is in bestowing them. So, with the Apostle Paul, there was this thorn in the flesh given to buffet him. And, as I've already hinted, the Apostle Paul was also shown why he had been given that thorn in the flesh. And the Apostle Paul was also brought to see, as it were, the lesson that he had to learn from it. As I said, he emphasizes it in verse 7, at the beginning, at the end. This is why he was given that messenger of Satan. And may the Lord help us to consider the things that he brings into our lives, things that we may be perhaps in the middle of at the moment, lessons that we have to learn. They may be in the form of afflictions, they may be in the form of pain, they may be in form of disappointments. Perhaps we been trusting in ourselves, and the Lord has brought something to nothing, as it might be. Or it may be that the Lord has brought pains or sorrows or worries or burdens upon us. I don't know any really of your circumstances, and I know very little about any of you really, and so I don't think that I am referring to anything, any particular knowledge I have. But do consider prayerfully what the way that the Lord is dealing with you at the moment, and may the Lord help me to do so. To consider why it is that the Lord has perhaps worked in a particular way. We see from what the Apostle Paul says that the answer that he had to his prayers wasn't the one that he wanted. He was praying that the thorn in the flesh might be taken away. He did have an answer, but it wasn't the answer that he was looking for. Have you been praying? Have I been praying in a particular way? And we haven't received the answer that we were looking for. But have you received the answer in a different way? Have I received the answer in a different way? Have I thought sufficiently about that? How the Lord is leading me. Is perhaps what the Lord has now been doing, is that the answer to my prayers? It's not what I wanted, but it is an answer. May the Lord help us to consider these things, and may he give us grace to do so. Grace to consider them. Because sometimes it can as it were. They're often things that perhaps may affect our pride, what we think of ourselves. It was like that with the Apostle Paul. He was clearly shown that there was a danger that he should be lifted up, exalted above measure. So that is why he was given that thorn in the flesh. I think it is true to say that it is quite possible that this exaltation of the Apostle Paul, this lifting up, wasn't perhaps just in himself, though I'm sure it was there as well, but also perhaps in the eyes of other people as well. The Lord, as it were, gave him that thorn in the flesh, whatever it might be. Some have suggested it might have been a speech impediment, or that he was small in stature. I think many of these things are conjecture. But it may also have been something then that would restrain others from exalting the Apostle Paul. But it may be something that is humbling us, or is to humble us. And how hard it is sometimes to accept that, to accept even the need, or even the thought that we should need humbling. Well, may the Lord help us then to learn the lessons from the way that he is leading us, to see, as it were, the Lord's hand. And there may be, again, I don't know how it might be, I can only think of my own experiences in the past. Sometimes, if someone were to say to you, that prayer that you are praying, the Lord is going to say no to that. And if that were the case this morning, would we then immediately feel a sense of disappointment? Perhaps a sense of grievous disappointment. It might be something that we have set our hearts on. And then, if we were to be told, the Lord is going to say no to that, perhaps there would be a real sense of disappointment. But the Apostle Paul was brought to feel very differently about that. We could understand if he were to think, as it were, that this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan, as it were, this thing to a constant irritation, something that he couldn't get away from, something, I'm just going on how he describes it, something that would be there all the time, and it wouldn't stop you from carrying on your daily lives or your duties, as it didn't stop him. But it would be something that, humanly speaking, would affect them. It would be there, as it were, perhaps in your mind or all the time, or you'd feel it. It would be something you'd be conscious of. But you still have to carry on, as it were. And so when the answer to him was no, you perhaps think that there would be disappointment. But that isn't what we get in this verse 9. And in one sense, really, the second sentence in that verse 9, it almost, perhaps it should hit us when we read it. Because the Lord has just said to him, really, no, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's not going to be taken away, that thorn in the flesh. And then we have Paul speaking again after those words of the Lord. And Paul's response is, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. Will I glory that I have, that the Lord has given me this thorn in the flesh, that the Lord has brought this disappointment, this infirmity, this weakness, this disease, even this burden, whatever it might be, that the Lord has brought this upon me. And the reason why Paul is glad about that, most gladly, he says, is because he will know the power of Christ resting upon him. So may the Lord help us to see, as it were, the lessons that the Lord would be teaching us in our lives. I have sometimes thought, I know, I'm just thinking back to school days and when we were perhaps taught a new concept in one of the subjects, and perhaps it might take a while to grasp it, but then there would come, as it were, hopefully, that sort of moment when you think, yes, I understand that now, and I don't have to just follow what the teacher does on the blackboard, as it were, or whiteboard, or whatever it is now, and sort of learn a process. I can see why the process works, and there is that understanding, as it were. But we do need revision lessons, don't we? And I know that much of what I've was taught at school in subjects that I don't use now, I have forgotten. I wouldn't be able to at one point we did quadratic equations in O-level maths, as it was for me, and I can't remember how to do those now, because I've never really had to use it. So I'd need to be reminded again. But I can remember understanding it, I think, at the time, and being able to do them. But if you think for a moment as how the Lord is teaching you, the Lord is our teacher, the Lord is my teacher, and how quickly do you learn the lessons, and how quickly, readily do I learn the lessons that the Lord would be teaching us? Do we even look to see, why has this come upon me? Why has the Lord brought this upon me? Sometimes even we may forget to think that, mightn't we, that it is the Lord's hand that has done something. Why has the Lord done this? And then may the Lord help us to ask him to show us, why has this come upon me? And I do sometimes feel very slow to learn the lessons that the Lord would have me to learn. Like I said, sometimes there might have been, when we've been going through something, we have perhaps strongly felt our weakness and the present help of the Lord. But then, how easily we can forget that. So when the next trial comes, then we have, to an extent, forgotten what the Lord showed us last time. Oh, may the Lord help us then, not only to look, as it were, to see what is the Lord teaching me, but to learn those lessons that he would have us to learn. And may the Lord also help us to look to see what the answers are to our prayers when there is not a yes, but a no. A no for this reason. May the Lord help us to see that, as it was for the Apostle Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, I want to just speak a little bit then about the passage that we read in John chapter 6. My desire is that the Holy Spirit would, as we look again at this miracle that Jesus did, that the Holy Spirit would show us, perhaps show us again, if we have already seen it in a measure, but show us, open our eyes to the abundance of grace that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have it set before us in this miracle that the Lord did. I want to just go back, as it were, to the to what grace is, and that thought of the Lord giving us those things that we don't deserve. The analogy has been used before, but it is almost as if it were a king were to stop by a homeless person, and it would be a condescension if he were to put some money in the box. But if instead of that he were to stop, as it were, to command that that homeless person be brought into the palace, that that homeless person should be given everything that they need. Food, clothing, warmth, shelter, and so on, everything that they need. And then, if they, the king were to go further than that, as it were, and if that homeless person were then to say, well, I am here, I am homeless, because I am trying to flee from a crime that I have committed, and that crime means that I deserve to die. And if the king then were to say, or as it were, well, I cannot pardon you, it cannot just be pardoned like that, but instead, my own son will take your punishment and will die for you. That is the extent of the grace that we are talking about. And imagine, as it were, what that homeless person would think, what they would feel, as it were, if a king were to behave in that way. Would they be able to believe it, that a king should have so much love to them, as it were. And then the king to say that you're not a homeless person anymore. This is your home. You are now my heir. And if the king were to speak of a love that he had for that homeless person, not a charitable love, a love that is not based on what the other person is like, but a love that, as it were, is individual for that person. This is just a glimpse of the Lord's grace. And that is what I mean, or trying to say what I mean really, when we speak about the abundance of the Lord's grace that as set before us in this miracle. Now, the Lord also knew that these people needed feeding, coming back to John 6 now. If they had not been hungry, then they would not have eaten of his grace. And that was really why we, may the Lord show us, truly show us, our need of the Lord's grace at the depth of our sin. May the Lord show us that. May the Lord help us to see ourselves just a little as God sees us. The completely, as it were, made up of sin. However long you have lived, however many years I have lived, however many years, months, days, hours, minutes and seconds, each one of them is filled with sin. Not one of us can claim, as it were, that we are sinless, but we are made up of sin. That disobedience to the Lord, it may not have been outward. I know it wouldn't have been outward all the time, but inwardly, can any of us, when we measure, as it were, the behaviour of our minds against what the Lord Jesus Christ said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, can any of us measure, as it were, the behaviour of our mind, how our mind has been against that, and say that we are sinless? We are made up of sin, and that is why we need grace. We cannot deliver ourselves from it. And it is only through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be saved. And we see that really at the beginning of this parable, this conversation that Jesus had with Philip and the other disciples, and one of which mentioned by name is Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. Jesus said to Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, I think what this shows us is that in the mind of Philip and in the other disciples, there was no way that these people could be fed. If you look at the parallel accounts in Luke, for example, I believe chapter 9, we read that the disciples came to Jesus and said, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. And you can see that the assumption that the disciples had made was that there's no way to feed these people. They were there with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was able to work miracles, and yet they didn't think something was possible. And it may be that we are like that. That although we know what the Bible says about nothing being impossible with God, yet we may forget it. And especially this morning, in connection with salvation, if there are any that think, as it were, that there is something about them that somehow debars them from the Lord's salvation, we say because of our sin, but of course that has different forms in each of us, in one sense. And it may be different parts of our sin that are weighing on our conscience. And it may be that particular sin, as it were, you haven't seen in somebody else. It may be that you think, that sin, this is what I am like. Surely, how can the Lord pardon somebody like me? That was impossibility, was in the minds of the disciples. Send them away. Send them away. But Jesus then said, give ye them to eat. And we can put those together. We can see, as he said unto to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And Philip's answer showed him, he enlarged on how impossible it was. If we take the, as we see in other parables, that a penny a day was a reasonable wage, 200 days is not that much less than a year's wages, is it? And I don't know how much a year's wages would be nowadays. I don't know what the average wage is, 27,000, 28, something like that perhaps. Think of that, £28,000 worth of bread wouldn't be enough to feed these 5,000 people. That's what he said. It wouldn't be enough for them, just for each one to take a little. It's impossible. That was what he was saying. And then we see one of the disciples saying that there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? There is just a little, as it were. There is just a little. Now, especially want to speak about this morning. These 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Are there any here, as it were, who have been wondering, has the Lord begun to work in me or not? Is there the work of the Lord beginning in me? And perhaps it might be, as it were, that what you mainly feel is how far short you come, how different you are in that respect from others of the Lord's people that you know, perhaps have heard their experiences or have spoken to them or have read about them. And you think, as it were, there's so little evidence, as it were, that the Lord has begun in me. Perhaps it might just be that desire that the Lord would begin in you. This morning, as the Lord would help us, if he would, that the Lord would, as it were, take away that thought. What are they among so many? This is so small that I can't take any encouragement from it, as it were. Because it is quite true that in that sense, what Andrew had in his hand, the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fishes, it wasn't enough. It wasn't anywhere near enough. I don't know if it was the food for a lad, then perhaps it wouldn't even have been enough for a man. But it was far too little, wasn't it? But in the hands of Jesus, it was more than enough. Now, I don't want to say that if the Lord has begun to work, that you can stay there, as it were. You will not be able to rest there. All I'm trying to say is that where the Lord has once begun, then he will finish. He will finish that work. And that there might be that encouragement to plead with the Lord. Lord, continue to work. And to think, as it were, yes, it is worth me praying to the Lord. Yes, there is a purpose in me praying. And yes, I can expect the Lord to hear my prayer. Even though it may be, as it were, that you just feel the Lord has only begun to work within. And so we then see, don't we, that the Lord took those 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks. Now, giving of thanks, I believe, is mentioned twice. It's again in John chapter 6, it's mentioned in verse 11, which is in the narrative when it happened. But you notice that it's mentioned again in verse 23. Perhaps again something slightly surprising. Boats came from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. And you might think that that's enough to identify the place, but it goes on to say, the Bible, after that the Lord had given thanks. And the Lord gave thanks before he distributed. There was faith in this. Not faith so much of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there was faith in the disciples, because they had this thing, this food, as it were. It wasn't enough. But the Lord told them, make the men sit down, in verse 10. And through faith they obeyed him. In a sense, there was something so unlikely, wasn't there, about those 5,000 men, I think it was 5,000 beside women and children, the sitting down in these rows, I think they may have been by 50s in another place, but sitting down orderly like that. And the disciples clearly not having enough food to feed them. And then the Lord Jesus Christ giving thanks. And the reason why I want to mention that is because it ties in with the attitude of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul thanking the Lord for the thorn in the flesh, thanking the Lord for a weakness, thanking the Lord for an infirmity, and praising the Lord for that infirmity through faith, because he believed that through that he would receive that grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He uses that word power in the end of the verse. Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So may the Lord give us that faith then, to believe in the sufficiency of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we see, isn't it? It wasn't just that they had enough, but they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. So there was more than enough. And in the other miracle, the similar miracle that Jesus wrought, where there was the, I think, 7,000 people and the loaves and fishes there, again, there was baskets taken up. There was more than enough. Well, may the Lord help us to see this, and to, through this, to see the wonders of his grace. And may the Lord then, as the Lord brings these things upon us, as he has brought us into a place, or bringing us into a place where we feel the need of that grace, may he give us that faith to believe that the grace will be given, and to believe in the abundance of the grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. And finally, with this thought, those words, my grace is sufficient for thee. It's almost as if there should be an even in there. My grace is sufficient even for thee. Because the Lord did speak those words, particularly to the Apostle Paul. And I believe they were at a time when he had been especially brought to feel his need of the grace of the Lord. And they were the words that the Lord spoke to him. My grace is sufficient for thee. Well, may the Lord speak those words to us this morning, and give us that faith to believe and to praise him, that his grace is sufficient for us. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 329. Hymn 329 to the tune Surely Would, number 827. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow, for I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace, all sufficient, shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume, and thy gold to refine. Hymn 329, tune Charlie Wood, 827.
Dear Lord, please do bless all that has been from Thee, and do forgive and take from our minds everything else. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.